As an avid hockey fan, I tend to pay attention to how players refer to one another. And it struck me recently that there isn't a lot of imagination that goes into nicknames anymore. So when I noticed that the Toronto Maple Leafs, in lieu of skill on the ice, had actually come up with a couple of decent ones. Okay, Jiggy for the goalie, Jean-Sébastien Chiguerre, not so imaginative. But Monster for Jonas Gustafsson and Optimus Rhyme for James Reimer? That's pretty good. So in honor of the one thing the Toronto Maple Leafs have done well lately, we're going to bring you the top seven goalie nicknames of all time. She hitched a ride up from Frisco. We're about to embark on yet another top seven list. My name's Jason Carello. I'm here with my friend Chris Withers.
Jason, hello.
How you doing, buddy?
Not too bad. It's been a while since we've done a top list. We were going to make it a regular feature, and we got a little derailed. But
we're back. Sidetracked.
We're back.
You know, we're human.
Yeah.
There's only so many things that we actually can talk about. That's not true.
That is absolutely untrue.
That's such a bad excuse. Before we get started on the goalies, I'd like, if you will permit me, I'd like to talk about a couple of nicknames from other sports. Is that cool?
Sure.
Every sport has got its nicknames. It's part of the fabric, the history, the culture of a sport. So in baseball, we've got from Shoeless Joe Jackson and Babe Ruth, the Sultan of SWAT, all the way up to modern day. We got Roy, Doc Halladay, David Big Papi Ortiz, even the ones that just play with a name like A-Rod. Mm-hmm. Like, this is part of baseball, right? Basketball, it's got Irvin Magic Johnson, Michael Air Jordan. Today, we've got LeBron King James. We've got all these guys. Football, William Refrigerator Perry, Broadway Joe Namath, O.J. Simpson was the juice, Mean Joe Green. Even if we go back to the movies, we're based on college football, The Gipper. Ronald Reagan played The Gipper. Win one for The Gipper. Right?
Yeah.
Soccer, Lionel Messi. Did you know that Lionel Messi is known as the Flea?
I did not.
Because of his diminutive size and his speed, he's called the Flea. We've got guys who are only known by one name. Kaká is not his full name. The guy's got a real name. Pelé, the godfather of soccer. He has been known as, well, his birth name, Edson Arantes do Nascimento. The Black Pearl. He's also been called O Rey, which means the king. Diego Maradona, crazy at last World Cup, started as Fluffy. He was originally called Fluffy for his hair. He went on to become the Golden Child, and he's the only soccer player to famously have a part of his body nicknamed.
The Hand of God.
The Hand of God from that famous World Cup goal. Of course, boxing is built on nicknames. Think about it. Muhammad Ali, born Cassius Clay, he nicknamed himself.
He converted to Islam.
Any name that is not given to you by your parents is essentially a nickname, whether you choose to change it yourself or not. What's his name? Who's the guy in football right now? Ocho Cinco?
Yeah.
He changed his name. It's just a nickname. It's a number, for God's sake.
All right. Yeah, but boxing, yeah.
But
Iron Mike Tyson.
Iron Mike Tyson. But Muhammad Ali was also known as the greatest. He was known as the champ. And he started out, before he won any titles, he was known as the Louisville Lip because he talked so much.
And boy, did he. Oh, he talked
good
great.
Good he talk, couldn't he?
He was the father of smack.
How many guys in boxing are called Sugar Ray? Now, it originally comes from Sugar Ray Robinson, but it was Sugar Ray Leonard. And anybody named Ray in boxing now is Sugar Ray. The whole sport is Rocky Marciano, the inspiration for the Rocky movies. He was born Rocco Francis Marchegiano, and his first nickname was actually the Brockton Blockbuster.
That's pretty good. And then we come to hockey.
Now we get into hockey.
We've got Nazi.
This is the problem. Modern sport, there's not a lot of imagination that goes into nickname. A lot of the nicknames I just mentioned were actually coined by sports writers.
Mm-hmm.
Sports writers had personality of their own, and they would come up with these nicknames. Today, it's too much of a business. People don't want to get into that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And the nickname's the only thing that we've got. We've got stuff like Nazi,
Jiggy.
Jiggy. Well, in conjunction with the other Toronto Maple Leaf nicknames we've got at the beginning are okay. But just on its own, that's all we do is we just add a Z and a Y somewhere in their name, mm-hmm. and it's fine.
It's not fine, but that's right? what they do. Yeah.
Alexander Burrow's nickname is Burr. Good one.
So we have together compiled a list. We're going to do this in three different parts.
We have three segments.
We're going to do, first of all, the top seven goaltender nicknames of all time.
Today is our choice of the top seven goalies.
We're going to follow this up with the top five skater nicknames of all time.
So next episode.
Yeah, and following that, not sure how many we've got, but we're going to do the top Vancouver Canuck nicknames
yes.
of all time.
So we basically are going to be covering goalies today, and here we go.
Okay.
So number seven, drum roll please. George Besna.
Well, that's not his nickname, Jason.
His nickname was the Chicoutimi Cucumber.
That is the wackiest nickname you're going to see on this list, I think.
It is pretty wack.
You just don't see anything that out there.
And it was basically coined because, well, first, he's from Chicoutimi,
mm-hmm.
which, okay, makes sense. And he was calm and cool and collected before every game. Most people have only heard of him because his name, of course, is on the trophy that goes to the best goaltender as voted on by GMs. That's the current state of things. So why is that true? This guy was around at the birth of the NHL. In fact, his first 7 years with the Montreal Canadiens were actually spent in the National Hockey Association, the NHA.
Mm-hmm.
His last nine seasons were in the NHL, all 16 years with the Montreal Canadiens. This guy was the only goalie to play between the pipes for the Habs from 1910 to 1925.
Really?
The only goaltender.
Not even a backup.
No backups back then. If the goalie went down, they dressed a defenseman or they grabbed someone from the stands.
This
is 100 years ago, man. Have you seen any footage of like NFL ball or college ball back then, the Leatherheads?
Yeah.
Like, we're talking guys who played every position back then. So it's not surprising, really.
It's not, I guess, surprising, but it is still difficult to wrap your head around, given what we're used to watching.
I mean, it's
days.
Certainly a different era.
Yeah.
This is also still in the time when they were just starting to allow goaltenders to put their knees on the ice to make a save.
Really?
Yes.
And I didn't know that
Originally, if you went down onto the ice as a goaltender, it was a penalty. That was the original rule. We're also talking about a league where you weren't allowed to forward pass. You were only allowed to back pass. It still had some rules from rugby. So we're talking a long time ago, my friend.
Yeah.
He was the only goalie during these 15 years. In 1925, he was sick for one game. So that's why his streak ended.
Huh.
Now, it turned out he was more than just sick, but we'll get to that in a minute. He won two cups with the Habs in those 15 years, 1916 and 1924. He had the fewest goals in the league seven times in his career. And that's why for the first 70 years of this trophy, it was given to the goaltender with the fewest goals allowed.
And now that has evolved.
That has changed.
There's a second trophy awarded.
That's the William Jennings Trophy.
Yes.
Now the Vezina Trophy goes to the best goaltender as voted on by the GMs.
Hmm.
In 1918, he was the first goalie to record both a shutout and an assist in the same season.
Interesting.
He was given that assist because he made a save, and then his defenseman took the puck up the ice and eventually scored.
Right.
In 1926, he died of tuberculosis. And this is why the trophy was started. The Montreal Canadiens donated a trophy to the league in his name to honor him because he actually died during a season.
Hmm.
He became too sick to play and died.
And was it the initial symptoms of TB that caused him to end that streak in 25?
Not that I know of, but I don't know the details on that. He was also one of the inaugural inductees to the Hockey Hall of Fame. And just because his name's on one of the most important trophies in the game, even though the nickname is a little bit cheesy by today's standards, it's got a certain historical ring to it. And I thought that he deserved to be in this list.
Absolutely.
So George Vezina, the Chicoutimi Cucumber. It's our first entry.
moving on to number six.
All right, going on to number six. And we are going in chronological order. So this is not in the order of the best nickname. We're going in chronological order today.
Okay.
Next up, Cecil Ralph Thompson.
For A.K.A.
generations, he was only known as Tiny Thompson. Good B.C. lad, born in Sandon, B.C.
Where is Sandon?
It's in B.C. That's all that matters. He was born in 1903. So again, we're talking a long time ago. But he kind of inherited the mantle from Georges Vezina as the best in the game.
Okay.
He played 12 seasons with Boston and Detroit. Four-time Vezina Trophy winner. He was the guy who popularized catching the puck in order to make a save. Before that, the goaltender would just knock the puck away with his hand or with his arm. He actually caught the puck. And he was one of the first guys to do that. He was also the first goaltender to ever be pulled for an extra attacker.
Interesting.
In the 1931 playoffs.
That groundbreaking strategy.
Which now, of course, is how any time a team is down, the goalie's pulled in the last minute. He was the first guy to have this done.
Was it successful?
It was not that game. They lost the game, but there was more ink in the newspaper about that tactic than anything else. And it was called one of the most important innovations in the game in the 30s, actually. He was the first goaltender to intentionally pass the puck to a skater and therefore get an assist that way. So he was the first offensive-minded goalie who actually passed the puck to a player. Whereas Georges Vezina was the first one to be credited with an assist, Tiny Thompson was the first goalie to actually record an assist because he tried to pass the puck to a defenseman.
I wish more complete footage existed back then, because I'd like to see how they actually played the puck back then.
They actually used normal sticks, and they didn't have special gloves for the goaltenders. The goalies pretty much used the same gloves that the skaters did and the same sticks that the skaters did.
Yeah.
So to pass the puck was actually not a big deal. It's just because of the way that they held the stick, they tended not to.
You know, just trying to visualize it, the puck comes down the ice. Well, I guess, you know what, because they weren't allowed to forward pass back then.
By this time, they were allowed to forward pass.
Okay.
By this time.
So the puck comes down to the goalie. What does he do with the puck if he doesn't pass it to a defenseman? Does he just bump it into the corner and let someone else pick it up?
Or? Well, you know, that's a good point. It is conceivable that a previous goalie had actually passed the puck, but he wasn't credited with an assist.
Right.
So that is entirely possible. Don't forget, no matter how well you pass the puck, you're also assuming that your players are good enough to get up the ice and score with only one pass after you.
This is true, yeah.
So it also depends on what kind of defense and offensive game your team plays.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he went into the Hockey Hall of Fame in 1959. His nickname, Tiny, the reason that I chose him, the nickname Tiny was given to him ironically. He was the tallest player on the team at that time. Guess how tall the tallest player on an NHL team was in that day?
I'm going to go with 6 foot.
5'10".
Wow.
5'10".
We were midgets back then.
Was the tallest player. Now, this is an era when everybody smoked, everybody drank. Yeah. There was no nutritional stuff going on. And basically, we're just bigger people now than we used to be.
Yeah.
But even if you look at footage of the 80s, look at Mark Messier was nicknamed Moose because he was big. By today's standards, he's a small forward.
Very small forward.
Right?
Yeah.
And that was only 25, 30 years ago. Not even that, because he played for the Canucks in the 90s.
Yeah, he played right up until what?
Not too long ago.
Mid-2000s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our number five, Frank Brimsek, Mr. Zero.
Mr. Zero. That sounds like a superhero.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's awesome. He won 2 cups and 2 Vezina trophies. He was the first U.S.-born player he was just the first U.S.-born player, period. He was the first great American player. He is the forefather of American hockey, really. He got 10 shutouts in his rookie year for the New York Rangers. Because he got 10 shutouts, he was called Mr. Zero. So he got 252 wins, which was a remarkable record. It was the most wins by an American goaltender. Now, this is a guy who played in the 30s and 40s, wartime. His career was interrupted by World War II.
Mm-hmm.
That record stood until 1994, when Tom Barrasso got more
That's
wins.
That's a 50-year record. That's impressive.
Yeah, Mr. Zero. There you go.
And I'm just reading over your shoulder, the first U.S.-born player into the Hockey Hall of Fame.
As well. In 1966, he was inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. First American to get there. Frank Brimsek, Mr. Zero, wherever you are, we salute you.
Moving on to number four.
This is one of my favorite players growing up. I absolutely adored this guy. Lorne Worsley.
Gump.
The Gumper. This is a fellow who didn't start playing in the NHL until he was 24 years old. He played until he was 45.
Huh.
Played 21 seasons in the NHL. He was named the top rookie and best goalie in the United States Hockey League in 1950-51 with the St. Paul Saints. He was named a league MVP in the Western Hockey League playing with the Vancouver Canucks.
Interesting.
In 1953-54. That was, of course, almost 20 years before they were in
the National Hockey League.
When he got into the NHL, he won the Calder Trophy. He won the Calder Trophy with the Rangers. They sent him to the Vancouver Canucks.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't play in the NHL that season because the Canucks, of course, were not in the league. They were in the Western Hockey League. It's the only time in history, the only time, a Calder Trophy winner for best rookie has followed up with a season of not playing in the NHL.
That's fascinating. And just the way the game is, you know, barring injury or death, that's not likely to ever happen again.
Probably not going to happen. So he did come back the following year. So he only missed one full season with the Rangers. He was the first All-Star team member in 68, second All-Star in 66. He won the Vezina Trophy in both of those years, 66 and 68, with the Montreal Canadiens. He won four Stanley Cups with those Montreal Canadiens, who got him from the New York Rangers as a part of a deal for Jacques Plante.
Hmm.
At the end of Jacques Plante's career, they sent Plante to the Rangers with a couple other guys in 63, and they got Gump Worsley. Gump Worsley then, at the end of his career, was sent to Minnesota, where he spent the last 4 years of his career. They traded him to Minnesota for
cash.
Money.
Yeah.
Cash money.
Now, the origins of the name, because that's the part that I'm really interested in. I'm not familiar with this particular strip, but apparently Mr. Worsley bears a striking resemblance to a comic strip character
named Andy or Andrew Gump. The Gumps was a comic strip that was in most American newspapers for about 50 years.
Hmm.
It started in the teens and went through like almost right until the 60s, very close to it. And it was a major part of Americana for a long time.
Hmm.
Most people nowadays have never seen this before unless they've studied newspaper or journalism or anything else. I have not read a lot of it, but the character is very, very recognizable because the guy who did Balloon County,
yep,
and Opus the Penguin draws in the same style. Very, very necklace with kind of weird hair, pinched eyes, big nose. It is an inimitable style. And it did actually become a number of motion pictures as well. But he looked like Andy Gump. So they called him Gump, the Gumper. One more thing about Gump Worsley. A couple more things. He is number 17 on the wins list in the NHL still to this day. Only active players with more wins than him, Martin Brodeur and Chris Osgood.
Hmm.
So he's above all the other active goaltenders. He also wore a mask. Out of his 861 National Hockey League games, how many games do you think he wore a mask?
One.
Four.
Four.
His final four games in Minnesota.
Any reason why he put the mask on?
He was almost hit by a puck in his fifth to last game, decided to wear a mask to put it on. He was one of the last goaltenders to ever actually start wearing a mask. He felt so uncomfortable with it on, he just didn't want to wear it anymore, but it was unsafe. Also, Gump Worsley had severe phobia of flying. And because of Western expansion into LA and into Vancouver, he didn't like flying. In the 50s, when he played for Vancouver, everything was on the bus.
Yeah.
He didn't fly anywhere. But flying out to LA to play the Kings and flying into Vancouver to play the Canucks, he just didn't like that. So he said, screw it, I'm going to retire. And he did.
I can't imagine. I mean, I guess if you're at the end of your career anyways, and your fear is that strong. But I just can't see a lot of hockey players giving up something that they love that much just because they won't get on a plane.
Well, we're also talking about a guy who was 45 years old at the time.
Yeah.
Right. This was the end of his career. He'd played 20-plus years in the NHL.
Yeah. Moving right along. Number three on our list. This next one, we didn't see him play very often because he played behind one of the greatest goaltenders of all time in Patrick Waugh. He was a backup goalie for the Montreal Canadiens. Andre Rasico, also known as Red Light Rasico.
And do you know why he got the nickname?
He, in his first NHL appearance, allowed 3 goals on 6 shots. It's one of the worst debuts ever by an NHL goaltender. And Don Cherry is the one that actually called him Red Light for the first time on Hockey Night in Canada.
And it stuck.
He had a lengthy career as a journeyman in the NHL, or not in the NHL, but in the AHL. Only ever played in the NHL for the Canadiens behind Waugh.
But he also played in the IHL, the International Hockey League.
Yeah.
The East Coast Hockey League, where Alex Burrows got his start.
Yeah, he had a stint in Russia.
Also played for, and I'm going to try this out here, this is the HC, which I imagine stands for Hockey Club, Nizhnekamsk Neftekhimik.
Okay. After that debut, really settled down and went on to, during that season, have the second highest winning percentage amongst active goaltenders.
Including starters?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. Playing behind Waugh and playing for that Habs team.
Right.
Obviously, you were going to win a lot of games. And he also had, his goals against average was not that much worse.
Right.
It's just that one game, his first one, earned him a great but
it is a wonderful
humiliating nickname for the rest of his career.
It is a wonderful nickname. All right, going on to number two, the bane of Wayne Gretzky at the Nagano Olympics, Dominic the Dominator Hasek.
I don't think there will ever be another goalie like the Dominator.
In what way?
The way that he did not play positional goaltending.
It was very reactive.
And still
flopping is. Flopping around.
He flails everywhere.
In post-game interviews.
There's a saying that if a save looks spectacular, you are out of position. And Hasek constantly made spectacular saves.
There was no such thing as a routine save for him.
No. He created or pioneered a number of techniques that some goalies use now as part of their arsenal. But the way he utilized them was just completely off the wall. You know, he was one of the first goaltenders ever to drop the stick and cover up a puck with his blocker hand. Which, you know, we see Luongo do that on a pretty regular basis now.
Not always on purpose.
No.
The Czech national team had never won Olympic gold. And they beat some pretty good teams. In 1998, in Nagano, was the first time in a long time that the NHL had sent players over to the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Canada was looking for its first gold medal in 46 years.
Yeah.
And everybody thought Wayne Gretzky, Ray Bourque, all these guys were going over there. Controversially, not Marc Messier. But Patrick Roy,
yeah,
like all these guys were going over.
Messier wasn't on that team.
Was not on that team.
That's interesting.
He was in the promotional cards printed by Esso in a Team Canada uniform, but he was not named to the team, and it was quite controversial.
Trevor Linden was named to
the team. Trevor Linden was. And Trevor Linden was the only Canadian player to score on Dominic Hasek in the semifinal of that tournament.
Yeah, he tied it up and sent it to the shootout, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dominic Hasek put the fear of stink into Canadian shooters. I remember Brendan Shanahan standing at center ice as the third shooter in that shootout, and he looked terrified going in on Dominic Hasek. And the guys did just not believe they could score on him.
Yeah.
He was outstanding. He won 6 Vezina trophies with Buffalo and Detroit and Chicago. He won 2 Hart trophies, the first goalie in history to win consecutive Hart trophies. Think about that. First goalie in history out of all of the brilliant goaltenders.
Yeah, no, it's amazing.
First guy in history to win consecutive Hart trophies as the league MVP. He won his Stanley Cup in 2002 with the Detroit Red Wings after a controversial loss to Dallas while he was still in Buffalo.
That is still one of the biggest black marks on the NHL ever.
For credibility.
For credibility.
Yeah, definitely. And even though we had some European goalies who had come over before, like Pelle Lindbergh, Hasek was the first goalie to really open up the league and open minds up to the fact that a European goalie can be your backstop.
Yeah.
And now look at the league.
Kiprusoff, Rene, all over
Lundqvist,
the place.
Lundqvist, like they're all over the place. So it definitely was a massive shift in how North Americans view their goaltenders. Dominik Hasek, the Dominator, he really did dominate games. He was exciting to watch as a goalie. It was not about style or position or any textbook that you could name. It was just about stopping the puck.
In the era that he played in, it was such a breath of fresh air. Because a lot of the gameplay was just so terrible. You know, it was the era of the neutral zone trap. And watching this guy diving around, flailing at pucks, it was fun.
Yeah, it was. He was a very fun player. And like I said before, in post-game interviews, he was crazy. So it was a lot of fun to watch him in post-game interviews as well. But speaking of European goaltenders, it brings us to our final entry. Amazing nickname named by Sports Illustrated as the number one hockey nickname of all time.
Yeah, no, I don't see that. It's a good nickname, but I don't see it as being number one of all time.
It's pretty good.
Is still an active goaltender. Currently of the Edmonton Oilers, one Nikolai Habibulin, as we've mentioned before, is a douche.
For his driving while impaired in Arizona. But
great nickname, the Bulin Wall.
So, of course, Nikolai Habibulin won a Stanley Cup with the Tampa Bay Lightning. So he gave guys like Vinny LeCavalier and Martin Saint-Louis their cup rings.
Yes.
He was one of the reasons that Phoenix got some decent people in the stands in for the Coyotes.
Yeah.
He was very popular there, even though since he took the contract in Edmonton, he was charged for driving under the influence. Some other nicknames that we've got here, the Netminder, playing on the Russian nickname.
I love that one.
And the First Czar instead of the First Star.
Yeah, that's clever.
But he's also got two Olympic medals as well for Team Russia.
There's a great quote by Nikolai Habibulin. He was asked back in 2002 about his new mask. And he said, "Someone tabbed me the Bulin Wall after the Berlin Wall, and it stuck. I told the painter to do something cool. So he did this thing based on The Wall by Pink Floyd. I don't know anything about Pink Floyd. I don't have any of their CDs. I don't even know what some of the things here are, and they spelled my nickname wrong."
Awesome. That is an awesome quote. I like it. And there we go. That was our top seven hockey goalie nicknames of all time.
Yeah.
Closing comments?
No.
Well done. Nicely done. So thank you very much for listening, everybody. Next time out, we're going to bring about our top five skater nicknames of all time. And soon after that, look for our top, I can't remember how many, our top Canuck nicknames of all time. We'll be bringing those to you soon. And since Nikolai was so kind as to give us a little intro, here's a little Pink Floyd for your listening pleasure. I hope everyone has a great day, and gosh darn it, be careful out there.
Take care.
That's a dumb ending. I'm going to do that again.